Here at House Assembly, we need a revival of divine healing. I mean, seriously, now, how many of you have definitely received a healing from the Lord in your lifetime? You know without a shadow of doubt that it was a divine healing. See, God is alive. God's alive. But what I'm trying to convince myself is that if He can heal my smaller problem, He can heal this larger problem. Why is cancer such a threat to our faith? Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, there's something else we need beside a revival of healing. We need a revival of an outpouring of the Holy Ghost on our church. We have people here that need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it seems like the church is 9 months pregnant, and we're in labor. The baby's just not coming forth. And we need to pray people through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they need to push, and we need to pull, so that these people can receive the Holy Ghost. We need to work together on this thing. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Last week in Sunday school, we talked about all the opposition that there is against the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's a multitude of opposition against the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Last week we talked about the opposition against speaking in tongues, and today I'd like to take, probably for my text, 1 Corinthians 12, where the Bible speaks about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12 and verse 30. Have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. In that verse, 1 Corinthians 12, 30, we read these words, do all speak with tongues, and this is a portion of a verse of Scripture that the opponents to the baptism of the Holy Ghost just love to throw at Pentecostals. And of course, the Neo-Pentecostals have come up with a solution to this problem. And they say, now when I say Neo-Pentecostals, I'm talking about the new, the modern Pentecostals, not the traditional classical Pentecostals like we are. We are not Neo-Pentecostals. We are not charismatics. We are traditional, classical, Pentecostal. Praise the Lord. We're the ones that I say humbly, not arrogantly, have got the doctrine straight. We've got it right. But they are coming up with this idea that, no, all do not speak with tongues. And so they get you in the room and they lay their hands on you. And if you don't speak in tongues, that's all right. You receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost merely because I laid my hands on you and said, receive the Holy Ghost. And you did. Okay, now, maybe the tongues will come later, they teach. How many of you ever heard that teaching? Oh, quite a few of you. Okay, you've circulated. Okay, maybe in the future sometime the tongues will come, but don't worry about it. You receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. Okay? And maybe you won't even speak in tongues, but God gives you another gift, which is a manifestation, a proof, a sign that you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, but that won't work. Tongues is the only sign God gave. That's the only sign recorded in the Scripture, tongues. And I'm just traditional, classical enough to insist upon that. The Word of God is true, and we don't have to try to make it easy for people to claim the baptism of the Holy Ghost when they haven't really received it. What we are really doing when we teach doctrines like that is we are cheating people out of the real, the genuine, the one and only true experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And so this is another argument used against the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it's even used or abused or misused by the Neo-Pentecostals who claim to believe in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Now, do all speak with tongues? If that question is asked in harmony with the context in which it is written here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the answer is a resounding no. All do not speak with tongues. Okay? Meaning that all do not have the gift of tongues. But if the question is, do all speak with tongues when they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Another resounding answer, yes. Nobody in the history of the world has ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost without speaking in other tongues. Now that's putting it flat out. Okay, so if the question is, do all speak with tongues when they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? The answer is yes. Proof, Acts 2:4. What does Acts 2:4 say? Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now you can assume there were 120 there, or you can assume there were 12 there. What's the difference? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now would not you, with your normal intelligence, interpret that scripture to mean that everybody there spoke in other tongues? If anybody interpreted it differently, I would question their intelligence as being normal. I really would. It's so obvious and so simple. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay? And then turn to Acts chapter 10, verses 44 and through the end of the chapter. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them, on all them, on all them which heard the word. The Holy Ghost fell on every one of them. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. What? Do you make a distinction between the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the gift of the Holy Ghost? Paul, Peter doesn't. Listen to him. Because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so when Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, he's talking about receiving something that's going to cause you to speak in tongues when you receive it. Praise the Lord. Poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And notice too, the description is, it's poured out. Okay? For they heard them, some of them, or all them that heard the word. Up above in verse 44 it says, all them. And here it says, for they heard them. That's all them. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? Well, we didn't let them on the water baptism like they do today. Well, I already have the Holy Ghost. I mean, God's already accepted me. I mean, already I've got the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's already happened. If everything's all right between God and me, or me and God, they usually say, you know, me first. Me and God. If everything's all right between me and God, then why do I need to be baptized? Especially rebaptized. Can any man forbid water? This is what Peter said, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. My interpretation of that is, if you get the Holy Ghost before you're baptized, you are immediately under command to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. More doctrine, more teaching. Praise the Lord. Amen. Turn to Acts 19 real quickly. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? In other words, believing is one commitment or experience, and receiving the Holy Ghost is another. But don't they want you to believe that when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you automatically receive the Holy Ghost? Not so, according to the Bible. Here they believed in Jesus Christ. Why, their lives were probably changed. They were followers of John the Baptist. They had left the old way. They were transformed. And yet they had not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with a sign of speaking in other tongues. In fact, they hadn't even been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? But they say unto us today, you receive the Holy Ghost when you believe. And they say that that, properly translated, does not mean since, it means when. Well, to me, what in the world is the difference between asking the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe, or did you get the Holy Ghost when you believe? There's still a distinction made. Okay? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they went to their pastor and said, now what do you think about that, pastor? When they heard this, they got out their denominational commentaries and argued. When they heard this, they presented all their arguments against the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say that. It's telling us here that they had receptive hearts, open minds, open to God. They had the right attitude. And I wish people today had the right attitude toward the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Instead of when they hear about it, they fight it, they oppose it, they question it. Where is the attitude that says, hey, this is God's word, I want it? How many people have stood up and said, whatever God has for me, I want it? God tries to give it to them and they'll reject it. How many times have I heard through the years pastoring this church, pastor, if you ever see me doing something that's unapproved in this church, you tell me. And I've done it. And they said, well, what's wrong with that? Pretty good. Amen. So in Acts 19, verse 7, we read, and all the men were about 12. In other words, no matter how many there were, it says about. It could have been 11, could have been 12, could have been 13. But my interpretation, my understanding of that is, see if you don't agree with me, no matter how many there were, 11, 12, or 13, they all had the same experience. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about a group of men, and he says, and all of the men were about 12. They all had the same experience. If it were not so, I would have told you. You know, he didn't make a distinction. Well, so many received the Spirit, and they spoke in tongues, and this other bunch, they got the gift of healing instead. And on and on it goes. I say the Bible makes a distinction between the gift of the Holy Ghost and the gift of tongues. The Bible makes a distinction between the gift of the Holy Ghost and the gift of tongues. Okay, the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 10:45, we just read Acts 10:45. On the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we know good and well in both instances he's talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost where you speak with other tongues as a sign. Praise the Lord. Okay, and then Acts chapter 11, even in verse 17. For as much then as God gave them, so what happened at Pentecost was not limited, the experience that began at Pentecost was not limited to all subsequent receivings of the Holy Ghost. They all spoke with other tongues, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Okay, Acts 11:17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh-ho, there it is again. You see, it says he gave the Holy Ghost to believers. I don't think we ought to drag people in here with wine bottles in their back pockets and drag them to the altar and say, hallelujah, fill them with the Holy Ghost, Lord. I think they need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have an experience with God before they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They need to have a good old-fashioned repentant experience before they receive the Holy Ghost. You don't put new wine into old bottles or the bottles will break and you lose the bottle and the wine, the Bible says. There has to be a change, a readiness to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you're going to have the real thing. Praise the Lord. For as much then as God gave them the like gift, in other words, exactly what we receive, they receive. The like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, What was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they started arguing. No, the argument was over when they heard these things. They were arguing before that, saying, these people are uncircumcised. Peter, you can't do that. But when Peter told them what happened, they received the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. Instead of arguing with it, they opened their hearts and said, well, then God's received them. Hallelujah. Let's rejoice. That's the way it ought to be today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But in Acts 2:38, Acts 10:45, Acts 11:17, nothing is mentioned about the gift of tongues in any one of these references, only that they spoke with other tongues. They received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay, I said the Bible makes a distinction between the gift of the Holy Ghost and the gift of tongues. So you read about the gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts 2:38, Acts 10:45, Acts 11:17. Now the gift of tongues you read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. If you want to read that, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. And this passage is generally known as the nine gifts of the Spirit. For to one is given by the Spirit, not the gift of the Holy Ghost, but the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, God has distributed these gifts among the body, as it were. And so in those other verses, nothing is mentioned about the gift of tongues, just the gift of the Holy Ghost, where everybody, it ought to be known, speaks with other tongues. Praise the Lord. And in here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, Paul is talking about the nine gifts of the Spirit, not the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, proof that the 12 on the day of Pentecost or the 120 on the day of Pentecost did not receive the gift of tongues. Do you want proof that they did not receive the gift of tongues? God's not the author of confusion. He doesn't contradict himself. 1 Corinthians 14:27 says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course. That is, one at a time. Now, do you think they took turns talking in tongues on the day of Pentecost? That the 12 took turns talking? It's your turn now, Peter. Now it's your turn, Andrew. Now it's your turn, James. Now it's your turn, John. And then they turned to the 120 and said, now it's your turn. Now don't talk one at a time. You got to talk in tongues one at a time here. No. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues all at once. If six or eight people that need the Holy Ghost in this church came to this altar this morning and received the Holy Ghost, do you think that this pastor who reads and prays over the Word of God would say, oh, hold it, one at a time here. You're receiving the gift of tongues. No, you are not receiving the gift of tongues. You are receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And help yourself to the blessings of God and talk in tongues all at once. But if we're sitting in a church service and he starts giving a message in tongues, and she starts giving a message in tongues, and I'm going to say, hold it. That's not according to the Word of God. When we give messages in tongues, when we exercise the gift of tongues, we speak one at a time, and that by course. See? Okay, now to me, that's the teaching of the Word of God. How many think that's right? Praise the Lord. God bless you. Do you think that they took turns speaking in tongues, and maybe 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, or about 3,000? They'd still be taking turns, wouldn't they? I mean, 5,000 a few days later, they'd still be taking turns speaking in tongues, because some people talk in tongues for days. That's not what Paul's talking about. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. Do you think that when Peter preached to the household of Cornelius and they all started to speak in other tongues because the Holy Ghost fell like a blanket on all of them, that Peter said, oh, wait a minute, one at a time? Well, you say the teaching hasn't come yet. No, and the teaching that has come outside the Bible has been erroneous as far as I'm concerned. And I don't care for it at all. Praise the Lord. I believe that all 12, or about 12 in the upper coast of Ephesus that Paul laid his hands on, spoke in tongues just as soon as he laid his hands on them. And I don't think he took turns, and I think the household of Cornelius all spoke in tongues at once. I think when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, they all spoke with tongues at once, which would be contrary to the teaching of the Scripture regarding the gift of tongues, but not the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The Bible also says, let all things be done decently and in order. Argument. The Bible records instances, somebody told me this, the Bible records instances where people received the Holy Ghost but did not speak with tongues, and so they'll turn you to Acts chapter 8, if you want to turn there, Acts chapter 8, verse 14, and they'll bring this to your attention. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had heard the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Remember now, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were already believers. They had already responded to the command to be baptized, but they had not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost, and it doesn't say they spoke with tongues. Ha ha, Pastor Tambor, I've got one on you there. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money, and told him to repent. Praise the Lord. So it does not say that they spoke in tongues here in this passage of Scripture. And so some people who are fighting the baptism of the Holy Ghost use that as a reference where it is recorded in the Scripture where people did receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and they did not speak with other tongues. But listen, listen to me now. I want you to just think about this. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8 says, but God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me ask you a question. How did Christ die? How many think he was crucified? It doesn't say so in Romans 5, 6, and 5, 8. I found a reference where it says Christ died, but it doesn't say he was crucified. How do you know he was crucified? Because you read the record elsewhere. How do you know that those Samaritans spoke in tongues when they received the Holy Ghost? It doesn't say they did. I read the record elsewhere. When people receive the Holy Ghost, they speak in tongues. And wherever the Bible says Christ died, it doesn't mean he died of a heart attack or something else. He died by crucifixion. These are all excuses to reject the gift of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've got to hurry here. We know how Jesus died because we have the record of how he died. We know what happens when people receive the true biblical experience of receiving the Holy Ghost because we have the record of the initial outpouring. And if we can't go by that, then we are at the mercy of men. And we're not at the mercy of men. Praise the Lord. We've got answers for ourselves. Hallelujah. We have the record of how they received the Holy Ghost. Oh my, I could take you into so much more. You ought to do this for your homework. Read Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 17, where Peter is called before the council, as it were, and he tells his experience of receiving the Gentiles. And then he says, and as I began to speak, here's my proof, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. That's Acts 11, 15. It fell on them like it fell on us at the beginning. And if you want to know something else, look at verse 16. Then remembered I, Peter says, I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And if any preacher, any Bible college, any commentary teaches you that Matthew 3:11 and Acts 1:5, where it says John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, means anything other than receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, being baptized with the Holy Ghost, and speaking with other tongues, they are wrong. Peter said so. Peter said, then remembered I the word of the Lord. I remembered those scriptures. When Jesus speaks, it becomes instant scripture, you know. Those scriptures that Jesus spoke into existence. How that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That is referring to this experience that we are enjoying today.
has to be. Peter said so. Right there. Hallelujah. And it's the light gift that God gave unto them at the beginning. Oh, listen, don't let people talk you out of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. We have the record. It fell on them as on us at the beginning. The light gift as he did unto them, he gave to us. Praise the Lord. And tongues is not mentioned in this chapter, yet we have the record. We have the record. Let me tell you a couple of quick stories here in closing this morning. And I'm running over time, but a local pastor here from a fundamental church, an evangelical church, an acquaintance of mine, along with many other pastors in town here, told me that he had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but that he did not speak with tongues. Boy, did we have a talk. Another story, I was told of a missionary to China who had the gift of interpretation, but had never spoken in tongues herself. Now, how do you handle that one? I'll tell you how I handled it. Simple. I said, I don't believe anything. I am not obligated to believe what other people tell me they experienced. And they throw that in your face, too. You're preaching experiences instead of the Word of God. Oh, no. I'm preaching a Word of God experience. This experience is in the Word of God. Now, if somebody comes to me and says, God told me you don't have the Holy Ghost unless you speak Chinese. Somebody says, wait a minute. I'm not obligated to believe that. And when somebody comes to me and says that they received the gift of interpretation and they've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I don't believe that. I'm not obligated to believe that. The Bible teaches differently. One Spirit, the gifts all work from that same Spirit. Praise the Lord. Okay? Okay, I'm gonna quit right there. Sunday school's at the door. Could we just stand and raise our hands and thank God for the Holy Ghost today? And that we didn't get cheated out of it by believing falsehoods. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord, for the day of Pentecost. And I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that explains what happened on the day of Pentecost. I thank you for the teaching of the apostles, the teaching of the Scripture on the difference between, the distinction made between the gift of the Holy Ghost and the gift of tongues, Lord. Oh, lest people become confused, Lord. And they are cheated out of this glorious experience, this wonderful blessing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I know that it's more than a blessing because you had to die and go to heaven, Lord, that we might receive this. You said it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send him unto you. Praise the Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost with the sign of speaking in tongues, Lord. And oh, Lord, in spite of the flood of literature and voices clamoring to be heard opposing this Bible experience, Lord, I thank you that you're pouring out your Spirit in the midst of it all. Lord, we need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost right here at Pentecostal Assembly, and I pray, Lord, that Zion will bring forth, that the church will bring forth, Lord Jesus, for it seems like she's pregnant with souls, ready to receive, ready to be born. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we will do our part, oh God, that these souls might be born in the church. Hallelujah. Oh, bless those, Lord, that seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory, Lord, for every person that you fill with your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Oh, let us have a Holy Ghost revival, I pray. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless.